Welcome to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky with Alan Stein and Skip Elliott. Brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime.
Welcome to Local Matters, a presentation of LM Communications brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. I'm Skip Elliott with Alan Stein, and today we're happy to have Ryan Hilliard from Berkshire Hathaway DeMolevan with us today. Hey, Ryan, did I get the name right?
Skip, you nailed it. It's DeMolevan, but you were right on the money.
Now, you've been in the Lexington real estate market for 5 years, all with Berkshire Hathaway, and you're a consistent top producer in the firm. Ryan built his business on working with first-time home buyers, with first-time home sellers, too. Now, in 2017, Ryan was the top 3% of all Berkshire Hathaway real estate agents across the country, proud father of two young children, and a husband to Rachel. He's a University of Kentucky graduate, go UK, passionate about Lexington and its people. Good time to buy or sell a house, isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely.
Why is that?
You know, especially good if you're the seller right now. We've got Lexington's right now at historically low inventory, what we'd call for real estate home inventory. And when I say that, what I mean by that is the numbers of homes on the market, it just isn't what it is for what when we're in a healthy market. Mm-hmm. Lexington's a great place because we've got a lot of people coming and going. We've got the university. We've got good jobs, good medical system here. And so, you know, we've got a lot of people moving into Lexington. We've got a lot of transition going on, too. But particularly, you know, we've got buyers that are ready in the background. We've got a healthy buyer pool. What we need are just homes to come onto the market. That's where we're lacking.
You see them coming up all over the place, but they say that's not going to satisfy the needs.
Correct. Yeah. The need is there. You know, part of what we're seeing right now is interest rates are finally starting to tick up just a little bit. We've been hearing about it for years. Interest rates are going to go up. They're going to go up. They're still at historical lows, mm-hmm. which we love for our buyers. But at the same time, it's giving those buyers that little extra push that if I'm going to move up to that home that I've been waiting to move to, now might be the time because their interest rates are finally starting to bump up a little bit.
Yeah. Ryan, we hear all the time stories and anecdotes that we know are in many cases very true, that while it's a terrific time to be a seller, you know, that puts a little bit more pressure on inventory. And so perhaps the buyer has to be careful and in many cases has to be aggressive.
Yes.
Come in with cash offers or having pre-approved or maybe going above the asking price. We hear those stories all the time. Mm-hmm. But the stories that I'm interested in are the byproduct of that. Mm-hmm. For the sellers who decide to put their home on the market and they call Ryan Hilliard and say, mm-hmm. I want to sell my house, and you do it in 24 hours, they don't have a plan. What do they do? They don't have anywhere to go because now they've become the buyer.
Yeah.
And they're going to be paying more perhaps than what they had budgeted or what they got out of their home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the answer to that?
Boy, that's a key question. That's what, you know, we think that's what's holding a lot of people back right now. We've got such a good, healthy market. Once you get up to maybe that $500,000 mark, but can everybody go up to that price? Probably not.
No,
that's just not real world. So, what we're telling folks is, hey, as the good part about being the seller is you are in the driver's seat a lot of times in this market. So you can, you know, we tell people not every offer is created equal. You've got conditions, you've got timelines involved. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times sellers are asking for maybe an extended closing timeline so that they can have ample time to go out and find something. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, when you're working with a mom with three kids and, you know, we get you an offer first couple days and they're thinking, I'm going to be homeless in 45, 60 days.
Exactly.
Boy, they're looking at me like, what are you going to do?
Right.
So the answer is tough, but the answer is also good. The answer is that a lot of times we're working diligently within our office and within our brokerages to hear about what's coming to the market. We've got to get creative with those strategies. We also have to be, if there's a neighborhood that they love, a lot of real estate agents are going out and they're knocking on doors and they're saying, hey.
So that really does happen. I've heard that myth a lot.
That myth actually does happen.
That actually happened in my home many mm-hmm. years ago, and I just thought it was an anomaly.
Right.
But a realtor actually came to the house and said, hey, I've got two or three people that want to buy your house.
Well, and you had a good house, too.
Well,
but yeah, to continue with your question, I mean, that's not the only strategy, though. We're sending postcards out to neighborhoods. A lot of times those sellers that quickly turn into buyers have an idea of where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And we've already discussed that in our initial consultations of what's going to be next. You know, because right now, a lot of times in a healthy market, we can go out with them and those sellers first. You know, you might place an offer that's contingent upon the sale of your home on the house that you want to go to. That gives you a little bit of breathing room. In this market, though, with the level of competition that we're seeing, those contingent offers aren't always flying.
How long does it take for a normal house in Lexington to turn over?
That's a great question. A lot of it's dependent upon your price range. Typically, right now, homes under $250,000 in what I would consider a good neighborhood, you're looking at probably the average days on market around 30 days. Now, granted, if you're, and that's average, that's with a lot of lows. There's also a lot of highs. A lot of people are reaching for premiums on their homes right now,
right?
Because they're hearing of these market conditions. Now, I will say if you, once you get up into probably that 400,000 plus, you're probably looking at more of like a 60 to 70 day average. So
what are the good metrics there? What would you like to see those numbers be?
Yeah. In a healthy market, you know, if, what makes it so tough for first-time home buyers is that, you know, they're coming into the market, they're excited, they're ready, they're looking for it, and then they get beat out on a couple of these mm-hmm. multiple offer scenarios. But a healthy market, we'd like for Lexington to be looking at more like a homes, let's say, again, that 250, maybe even 200,000 and under, average days on market more like 50 to 60.
Yeah.
That means we've got a healthy pool of people selling, we've got a healthy pool of people buying. What we're seeing is that what's a little bit tricky is that a lot of these young buyers that potentially could go up to a higher number might not be. You know, they're moving around within the city. They're moving to an area maybe for a new school. They're moving because they've got friends in a different location. So it's the numbers that we want, Alan, to answer your question too, that we typically see above, let's say, 400, 500,000. Those are typically more at the 90 to 120 days on market average. Now, granted, again, a lot lower will be in there too, and there'll be some that are higher.
I was a first-time home buyer 24 years ago. I'm still in that house.
I love it. I love that.
Everybody goes, why don't you move? I said, yeah. Well, being in the career that I'm in yeah. radio, most of us move every year and a half to 2 years.
Right.
I've raised my family in that house, and I'm so proud of it.
That's great.
What do I do? I was asking my kids, okay, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
Do we trade it in and go for a condo for my wife and I, or how do we do that? I mean, is that some of the stuff you answer for people?
Absolutely, yeah. As real estate agents, you know, we try to operate from a full service perspective. We consult them. A lot of people think that we're salespeople. I like to view us more as consultants because a lot of folks, you know, you come into the market for sale by owners are normally or something that everyone considers. But you know, what I like to tell people is that, hey, we do this every day. This is something that we're in this business. We're going to take care of you. We're not just salespeople. I promise that at the end of the day that, you know, commission that you're going to pay out is going to be well worth your money. But yes, we consult them from everything of where should you go next? What's your most logical move? Is it a good time to move? Or should you even stay in your home and add on? People can't imagine that a home or a real estate agent would say, you know, maybe you should keep your house. But well, I promise you, we've been recommending that a lot too.
It's like the Shinaway Road.
Yes.
Everybody's redoing their entire houses.
Yes.
And it's amazing. They're getting a lot better value. Mm-hmm. But then you say half of those houses now have a for sale sign in.
That's right. Yeah, we're seeing it's a healthy market for renovations. You know, everyone thinks they're Chip and Joanna Gaines on HGTV, I think. I know that. But, you know, there are a lot of good remodeling companies in town that are doing a good business. A lot of people, like you said, Skipper, they're deciding, hey, you know, they're moving out for, let's say, 6 months. They're renovating, and then they're either moving back in or you know, someone that's lived in their house, let's say 30 years, mm-hmm. cosmetically might need some updates. Renovation company may buy it and upgrade it a little bit and then resell it. So we're seeing that awfully, awfully commonly. And yeah.
Ryan, you mentioned a minute ago about first-time buyers. Mm-hmm. I assume that's a whole category all by yes. itself that is different from your other buyers. How does one get prepared to become a first-time buyer? And what tips would you give that first-time buyer as they begin to think about home ownership?
I'd be quit being nervous is the thing that they're telling me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's intimidating, first of all, for a first-time buyer because you think, wow, we've got, you know, we're about to put a 30-year mortgage around our neck, and here we go. What are we doing? As far as getting prepared, I would say, first of all, you want to get pre-approved for a loan. You want to know that you can do it. You want to meet a good professional, either with your bank or with a mortgage brokerage firm to help you out along the way. So we want to get pre-approved first. Secondly, you want to meet with a real estate professional. You want to go through a consultation of what does this process look like? What are we going to actually be doing? What are our next steps? Because what I tell people is that finding the home might be somewhat easy, but then there's other hurdles along the way. We have home inspections. We've got appraisals. We've got a closing date. We've got to coordinate with our closing attorneys. So there's a lot that goes into that process, but I'd say number one, meet with a mortgage professional. Be sure that you feel comfortable working with them. I'd say honestly, get a couple opinions on that. Rates won't vary a ton from person to person, but I'd say get with someone that you like doing business with. It's such a relationship business. Right. And then meet with that real estate professional that you can trust along the way to guide you.
Do you give classes? Are there, consumer classes on how to go through this process?
You know what? That's where I feel like society as a whole is generally underserved. University of Kentucky started to offer some classes for this. Eastern Kentucky University, I know, actually has a degree in it now. But as far as first-time homebuyer classes, they're offered on a limited basis on a broker-by-broker firm within real estate firms. And I will tell you, they're not really well attended. And that's probably because they think we're trying to sell them something.
Yeah, of course that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that's a big area I think society's underserved is just getting educated before you kind of jump into the pool. And that's where you want to get with the experts.
I'm sorry, Skip. I was just going to say I served Fayette County Public Schools as the chairman of the redistricting committee last time we went through our process in our community. And it's a major involved kind of thing, of course. Mm-hmm. But what we heard as an underlying current all along was from our realtor friends. Mm-hmm. Schools are really important, I guess, in how people make their determinations. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I can. I mean, in our business, we don't want to tell people that just to buy strictly based on a school district. There's so many factors that go into it, but schools are definitely one of them in Lexington. You know, I grew up in a very small town of 3,500 people. You didn't have an option of where you went to school, no. But here you do. And third-party sites are readily available to tell you what school scores are and things of that nature. But we do want to guide them that, hey, what I talk a lot about with clients is resale value. So I say, hey, you're looking to get in this neighborhood. Here's great. Here's what we're kind of projecting as far as resale value. And a lot of that does have to do with your schools. Schools can accelerate values in certain neighborhoods. They can knock you back a little bit in other neighborhoods. And, Lexington is very, very school driven within the real estate market. It's such a great family town. We try not to harp on it too much, but as you said, Alan, as realtors, we watch it closely and we watch the district guidelines or the district lines very close within the neighborhoods.
What we found for the entire community, for all of Fayette County, that it's pretty much a zero sum game. Mm-hmm. There'll be some schools in ascendancy in terms of their scores, mm-hmm. and others that come from behind, and then those things move. You can't count on them being the same thing 5 years, 8 years down the road.
Plus, you get new schools opening as well. It changes the dynamics.
Of course, the new schools really have a major impact. But at the end of the day, when you have one set of schools that might be on a growth spurt and the others not so much, for the whole community, it stays the same.
It does.
It just averages out. This is a great community, and we have a great school system, irrespective of which school is impacted. So it's always interesting to hear a realtor's perspective on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, it's so interesting. You've got people that live there their whole life, and they've got these schools in mind that they've always wanted to send their kids to. And then you've got folks that come into town that, are new to Lexington, and they need a lot of guidance on, mm-hmm. Can you help me out getting an idea of what our public schools look like? So, yeah.
Right.
This is Local Matters, a presentation of LM Communications brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank, which one time for a lifetime. We're with Ryan Hilliard from Berkshire Hathaway DeMovelin. Got it right?
Nailed it, brother.
Whoa!
Tony will be happy with that.
Tony, the big boss, will be thrilled that you got that right.
One of the scariest things is coming up, for me, was coming up with a down payment. We had to, we scrimped, we saved, we cut corners, we sold albums, we did everything, and we finally got to it. When I reached that magic number, I was so happy. It was like, weight is lifted off my shoulders.
There.
But then it was the most, one of the most intimidating things, is sitting in that closing,
right,
watching the other lawyers, and, well, we know you have this in your house. And
right.
That's just the closing process is kind of intimidating.
It is. And, you know, it's funny. It's an experience that you'll never forget. You know, you never forget your wedding day. You never forget your birth of your first child, and you always remember closing day. It's just, it's interesting, but it's one of those times that again, if you've got good professionals guiding you through the process, once you get to closing day, should be a pretty walk in the park type day. That's a celebration day.
Well, they took me to Giuseppe's afterwards.
So I need to step my game up, Skip.
That's a good one. Well, what is that magic number, down payment? What should a typical home buyer, particularly a first-time home buyer, what should he or she expect to have in terms of a down payment?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the common myth is that you need 20% down to be able to do it.
Well, that's what we've all heard all
our
lives.
Yep. And 20% is typically that magic number. But right now, when you look at home prices and respective of what a first-time buyer can afford with some student loans on their back, you know, they've got creative programs out there. You can put 5, 10, as low as 3% down, still qualify for a conventional loan, and have the ability to participate in the market. You know, what we talk a lot about, too, is the way that rental prices in Lexington are just through the roof.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys, they don't realize that, hey, you can put 5% down, and you're going to have the same or less payment as what you currently have in a rental scenario. And that's pretty staggering when they actually look at it and they sit down and analyze, you know, what that takes for them to do. And, you know, that the loan officers in town, the mortgage loan officers, can get really creative with your financing now. So, again, that's why it's great to meet with them even a year in advance to just start the process.
I heard you say something about school loans. Surely that has some major impact in home buying today that wasn't around in my day.
It does.
You know, how has that impacted things?
Yeah, it really has. You know, you hear all these stories about 30-year-olds living with their parents, and some of it.
I hope my wife's not listening.
Sorry about that.
Some of us do still have that.
You better believe it. But, you know, in those type scenarios, student loans really have impacted our business, especially for first-time home buyers, when we're looking at preparing them for the market, because a loan officer is going to look at your what we'd call debt-to-income ratio. And a lot of time you're going to have a decent piggyback of debt because of those student loans. And, you know, so how do we navigate through that with what are you able to afford? You know, and sometimes you may get approved for a big number, but what is it you're actually willing to pay per month where you feel comfortable?
I get scared seeing some people's mortgage payments every month. Mine, thankfully, is under $1,000, but I'm not in the majority.
It's something else. I mean, that's something that we really try to walk through with people is, you know, you can look all you want at what the big house number is that you're going to pay for it. But over the life of the loan, you want to know we're locked into XYZ payment.
Yeah.
You know, what is it really going to be? Nuts and bolts at the end of the day.
Is part of what caused the downfall of the mortgage stuff a few years ago, is overbuying part of what happened?
That certainly could be. You know, we had an interesting scenario there where folks were buying maybe 2 or 3 homes that should have maybe never bought in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
So everybody was qualified for a home loan at that time. But now we're kind of getting back to the place where the guidelines in place protect the market as a whole, protect people sometimes from themselves and what they can buy. And now we're back to what I would believe mortgage-wise is a healthy environment. And also, there's a lot of good professionals in Lexington that will really sit down with you, guide you, and almost take you through a financial analysis before you get into the, you know.
I get flyers all the time. And come by and have a dinner with us.
Right.
Stuff, you know?
You better believe it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
What does the typical house sell for in Lexington?
In Lexington? Right. Our average sale price is right around $180,000. That's a wide range. That includes also our townhomes, single-family homes is what you typically think of in a home, and then condos. So that's our, you know, and that's up. A couple of years ago, 2015, we're looking at about $165,000.
How many categories in your mind are there for your inventory? From zero to what? And the next level and the next level. And then, you know, obviously the top level.
In terms of where we stagger our pricing?
Right.
Yeah. What we look at is we're looking at, you know, zero to 100,000, 100,000 to 200,000. And then we're going probably two to four, 200,000 to 400,000. And then once we get up above $500,000, we're going 500,000 to 750, 750 to a million, and then beyond. And right. There are some million-dollar homes in Lexington, but boy, I will tell you, the buyer pool is a little small.
Yeah.
But so we want to give realistic expectations, and we meet with these people that maybe are sitting in that, you know, $750,000 home, and they're hearing their friends say, "Hey, my house sold in a couple days." You know, we got to let them know that that might not be the case here. It could happen, but we also want to give them realistic expectations.
What's the inventory for each of those levels look like in Lexington? Where are we deficient, and where are we perhaps have too much a surplus of inventory?
I'll tell you what, we are really low, anything below $200,000 right now. It is a scramble to get in the door. I'll give you a personal example. I listed a nice little house, a ranch. It's 3 beds, 1.5 baths yesterday. We have 12 showings there today.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's in, you know, inside New Circle. The zip code's 40504. It's in a little area called Gardenside.
Yeah, sure.
Right over here. But we are really deficient under 200,000. Once you get above that, there's still prices are selling fast between that 200 to 350 if it's priced right. We really encourage our sellers to price it right the first time, because right now you're going to have your peak activity for about the first 10 days.
Yeah.
We want to be sure that you are really getting the maximum number of looks. But once you get above that, Alan, I would say the $400,000 mark, our inventory is much more healthy. And that's just because our buyer pool there isn't quite what we'd like to see. A lot of people are staying in their homes a little bit longer. They've got a better mortgage rate now than they used to. A lot of people have refinanced and they're just staying. So below $200,000, we have what's called 1 month of inventory available. That means if we sat here for 30 days, not another home listed, they're all gone.
You tell them all.
They're gone. Yeah. So, and that's based on what we're seeing in the buyer pool activity. If you get above probably that 250 to, you know, you're that 250 to 400 or 250 to 300 range, you're looking at typically more about 60 days. So
if you're one of those larger homes, a million plus, typically how long is the average list to sale period?
That's a great question. I wish that we had Suzanne Elliott and Susie Rhodes in my office here with us, because they work a lot in that price range. And I'll tell you, because they have clients that hear the good news of, you know, we're selling in a couple weeks or something like that, you know. And we have in some ranges up there above a million, almost 18 months of inventory.
Wow.
So we're, you know, we've got a lot of homes. If you're coming to town for Keeneland and you want to buy, give me a call. No, I'm kidding. But I will tell you, it's healthier up there, but it's about what we expect in Lexington for that price range. So again, competitively pricing your home is absolutely key.
What happens if philosophically a buyer a seller says, you know, I'm not necessarily in the market to sell my house, but everybody's getting so much. I'll just do a flyer and put it on the market. And they typically would put it on higher than what they're probably going to get. Does that hurt them in the long run to do that?
It definitely can. Yeah. If you start out too high, then we're working backwards from the beginning. You know, price reductions are common in our business, but at the same time, we would rather not have to do that. We'd rather give them realistic expectations up front, give them an idea of how long it's going to take to sell their home, and then have them price it right the first time.
Do you ever have the conversation with a prospective seller saying, nope, that's the wrong number?
Yes. I had that yesterday.
In Gardenside?
No. No, not with them. They priced it really well. But, you know, it's just the buyers are smarter than they've ever been. There's third-party sites out there like Zillow, Realtor.com, that people literally are hobbyists and they're on there every day. You could be in your, what we call forever home, but they just, part of their day is to get on Zillow and, you know, look through what did today's market bring. So, to answer your question, Alan, yeah, we just, you know, those conversations are hard. It seems like you're, you know, they know our job is to get them the maximum dollar in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
And they say, well, why would you want me to, you know, list my house for $15,000 less? And it's not that I don't want you to get maximum dollar. It's just that we want you to do it right. And we have a really good idea on the pulse of the market and what a fair market price is. The real estate market is very smart as a whole.
This has been really fascinating, Scott.
Yeah, it really has. I want to thank you for your time. It is a good time to either, whether you're buying or selling a home, to do it right now. And that could be your guy. Thank you for your time today, Ryan Hilliard with Berkshire Hathaway DeMovelin. We really appreciate it. That wraps up this week's Local Matters, brought to you by Citizens Commerce Bank. Switch one time for a lifetime. Join us next time on Local Matters.
You've been listening to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky, brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of LM Communications Broadcast Media Group affiliates or sponsors.